Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you, Heavenly Father, once again for such beautiful weather and the gift of this day to us, and how sweet it was to be alive. And you've called us around the table of your word now to open our hearts to you and to grow in our relationship with you. I pray for every person here and everybody listening by tape that they would have a closer walk with you because of this retreat, and walk nearer with you through any valley that they might be going through. In a very special way, I thank you for the young people that are here and pray that you'll touch them in powerful ways. May their hearts be open, and may we all grow in trust this night. So I ask your blessing upon your people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, we're not going to have Mass tonight. Go ahead, you can sit down. All these flowers are so pretty. We're not going to have Mass tonight. What we're going to do is have a word service. And if all goes well, I'll have you out of here in an hour, okay? And you never know. Sometimes the Holy Spirit takes over, takes a little more than an hour, but not too much. I don't like to go too long. And what I'm going to do now is just kind of warm you up, okay? Not that it wasn't warm outside, but I just thought I'd tell you a few jokes and poke a little fun at lots of different types of people. And I heard, I heard the story about this woman. She came into the church, and she was met by the usher in the back, and she was elderly, and she comes in, and she goes, "Sonny, I want to sit right in the front row." He goes, "No, you don't." She says, "Why not?" He says, "Because the pastor is boring. You'll hate it. You don't want to go sit up there." She goes, "Do you know who I am?" She goes, "No, who?" "I'm the pastor's mother." And he goes, "Do you know who I am?" She goes, "No." He goes, "Good." So watch out for those ushers back there. Anyway, did you hear the story about this? This is not in any way prejudiced, but this white guy and black guy, they're in a car talking about what color God is. And the white guy, of course, says God is white, and the black guy, of course, said God was black, and they got arguing so vehemently, they got into an accident, and both of them were killed, and they were ushered up to the pearly gates, and as they're standing there, they could hardly believe their eyes. Here comes Jesus, and the first thing he said was, "Buenos dias, señores." Well, I thought that was funny. Okay, there's some married people here. See, these are all new jokes. I can tell you all my old ones, but I'll tell you some new ones. Try to cycle in new ones all the time. Let me see this. Married couple, they've been married for 30 years. And interesting thing, the wife was always had the shoebox that she always protected. And the husband wanted to know what was in there, but the wife would never let him look. So one day she goes shopping, and she left the shoebox, and he sneaks into the bedroom and takes the top off. He sees $2,000 in cash and three eggs. And he's trying to figure out what's in there and, you know, or what it means. And finally she comes back and he has to confess because he wants to know. He goes, "Honey, you know, I looked in the shoebox and I didn't understand what was in there. I saw three eggs and $2,000. "Well, since you looked, I have to tell you." He said, "What's the three eggs?" And she said, "Well, every time you made a mistake, I got an egg and I put it in there." He's thinking, 30 years, three eggs, I'm a saint. And then he goes, "Well, what about the $2,000? What's all that cash in there?" She said, "That's easy. Every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them." Yeah, that's right. That's married life. Okay, well, let's poke a little fun at religious life. We've already picked on black and white and Hispanics and everybody else. Let's see here. There was this nun, 98 years old, at the end of her life, saintly woman. And there she is lying in bed, you know, and all the nuns are gathered around because now it's the moment of transitus. It's the moment where she's going to pass to the Lord. And so one of the nuns, you know, with all the compassion for their mother superior, she goes over and gets this nice warm milk, brings it over, and they give her a little sip to drink, and she tastes it, and she goes like that, you know, take it away. So she took it away, and she poured half of it out, and she remembered that they had some aged Irish whiskey that somebody had given them, you know, for Christmas. So, you know, she pours in a little bit and pours a real generous amount, you know, in there, and it's just about full. And she brings it back over to Mother Superior and gives her a little taste, and she takes a little more, takes a little more. Before long, she drank the whole thing. And so they go to her, well, Mother Superior, you know, we know you're about to pass to the Lord. What wisdom do you want to share with us? What's your dying words? And she said, don't sell that cow. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's talk about this one now. There's another nun, much younger. She's like 55 years old, and she worked in hospice, you know, with elderly people and, you know, in nursing homes and different things. And she's driving to her ministry, and she ran out of gas. And so she had to walk about a quarter of a mile to the gas station, you know, just to get there. Finally, she gets there, and she said, you know, I ran out of gas. Could you give me some gas? He goes, we got plenty of gas. I sold my last container, though. We have no containers to put it in. So she goes back to the car. She remembered something. Opens up her trunk. She had a bedpan in her car. So she walks back, all the way back to the gas station. Sure enough, you know, he gives him the gas. She pays for it. Now she's walking back to her car, and there happens to be two guys standing right near her car. And they see this nun in full habit walking to the car and pouring the contents of the bedpan into the car. And one guy says to the other, if that car starts, I'm becoming Catholic. Welcome to Entertainment Tonight. You didn't get that one? It's easy. No, never mind. You're not going to get this one then. You will. There's these two Irish guys, and they're sitting in a pub. This isn't to poke fun at Irish, but they're sitting in a pub, and pardon me, but it's across the street from a brothel. And they're looking out the door, and they could hardly believe their eyes. There's a Protestant minister going into the brothel. And one of the guys says to the other, you know, 'tis a shame, a man of the cloth going into the brothel. What are these days coming to? They're drinking a little more and, you know, having a good time. The other one looks, he could hardly believe his eyes. There's a rabbi going into the brothel. And he goes, what a shame. Even the Jews are falling victim to sin. Then they're drinking a little bit more, and they could hardly believe their eyes. There's a Catholic priest going in the brothel. And one turns to the other and he says, what a pity, one of the girls must be dying. Thank you for laughing, I appreciate that. These guys are still not sure. So I hope I didn't offend anybody there, but anyway, I'm just trying to get you happy in a good mood. Some of the content of what's to come is going to be a little more serious, so I wanted you happy. I'm about to preach a sermon called Trust is a Must. And I believe that all of us have a capacity for trust, and we're all called to a deeper relationship with Christ. And I believe that one of the greatest ways we can have that is by trusting in Him. We even have on our money, if you look at it, our coins and our dollar bills, in God we trust. But unfortunately, some people trust more in their money than they do in their God. And I believe that trust is the way to open the door for God's working in our life. So I want to begin tonight, I've called you on retreat, to walk closer to Jesus and with Jesus, no matter where you are or what you're going through. And I believe that as you walk in trust, you will see the Lord working in your life in powerful ways. I understand that many of you may be in difficulties, or you may be in the best part of your life that you've ever had. There could be some physical suffering going on. You could be grieving a death. There could be relationship problems. There could be an uncertain future that you're not sure of. Or you could be in the happiest time you ever lived. Well, whether you're in joy or sorrow, trust is a must. And so I want to proclaim to you one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture. Then give me about a half an hour to preach. We'll sing some more and make a few announcements, and I'll have you home soon. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is a proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. This is perhaps one of Jesus' most powerful sermons. It comes from the Sermon on the Mount. It's chapter 6 of Matthew. And I had this read when I was professed as a Passionist, because this is the way I want to live, and I hope you too. And Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow or reap, and they gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more important than many birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add one single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about your clothes? Learn from the way that wildflowers grow. They don't work or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like one of these. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more take care of you, O you of little faith? So don't worry and say, what are we to eat and what are we to drink? Because it's the heathen that seek after such things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you besides. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Take it one day at a time. The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, please be seated. I get goosebumps just reading that. That is so freeing. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about today. Just take it one day at a time. Live under the providence of your Heavenly Father. See, that's the way I want to live. You know, most of you don't know what you're going to be buried in, but I do. I'm going to be buried in this, the simple garment that I wear. It's my religious habit. And I donned this in trust and in faith, believing that God was going to take care of me, and he has. I did that 20 years ago on September 8th, 1985. For these last 20 years, I can tell you I've been on quite a journey, traveling, preaching, living out of a suitcase, meeting thousands of people, a gracious people like yourself. It's wonderful to be back with you in Grass Valley. And I trust, because I can be so anxious. Now, I have to let you know, this sermon took place in one of the most beautiful places in the world. I had the privilege of studying in 1987, and studying in Israel. And Galilee was my favorite place to go. And we visited, you know, the place where the Sermon on the Mount took place, the Mount of Beatitudes, it's called. And scholars tell us that this is probably Jesus' most powerful sermon. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, and don't be afraid, and don't be anxious. And if you've ever been to Galilee, it's beautiful. You know, you have that portrait on the back there, I see, of Jesus teaching people. I can see it. You can see it on the way out. And it's got this beautiful surroundings. Well, that's the way the Sea of Galilee is. It's much like Lake Tahoe. It's not really a sea. It's more like a lake. The Lake of Gennesaret, it was called. The Lake of Gennesaret, the word Gennesaret means a harp, like a musical harp, because it's shaped like a harp. It's kind of big on the top, and then it slopes down this way. And it's a lot like Lake Tahoe. It's not that big, about 13 miles long and about 8 miles across, but they also called it the Sea of Galilee, turquoise blue against the green backdrop of this sloping, you know, mount. And it was in that setting, thousands of people gathered, and here's the Son of God, you know, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, come from heaven itself to teach us about heaven. And he said to his people of that day, and what he's saying to you and me is the same thing. You have a Father who cares for you, who's in love with you, who takes care of you, and you don't have to worry. And he was telling the people in this sermon, because oftentimes it doesn't seem like it. Oftentimes we can forget how much God cares for us and how present he really is to us. Or it seems like he's taking care of everybody else but us, and he doesn't seem like he's right there. And Jesus, again, wanted to make it clear to the folks, to his people, and as I do tonight, and he is through his living word, that God's passionately in love with you. No matter where you are in your life's journey or in your walk with the Lord, he is right there. And I love what the Bible says. I will never fail or forsake you. I am with you. And I love what Jesus said. He said, even the very hairs on your head are counted. God has to work harder with some than others. See, that's how close and intimate our God is. He's closer to us than we are to him, to ourselves. And he invites us to trust. That's what this sermon was all about. Jesus was telling his people, trust in your Heavenly Father. Rely in your Heavenly Father. What does the word trust mean? Well, it means, I remember some time ago there was a song out called Lean On Me. You know, lean on me when times are hard. And, you know, it's that whole thing of don't put your own weight in your own control, but lose yourself to God. Lean on God. Surrender to God. Rely on God. Have confidence in God. Trust is never trust just in something. It's a relational word. You know, like a mother trusting her child or a child trusting her mother. In fact, Hebrews used to think in terms of pictures, images. And the word trust comes from a word ameth. It's where we get the word amen from. It means I believe, I trust. And the word ameth comes from a mother holding her little baby at her breast, and the little baby is asleep at the mother's breast. That baby is trusting her mother, sleeping. And so, really, that's what we're called to in the midst of, remember Jesus in the boat, you know, he was sleeping in the midst of the storm. He was trusting in the midst of chaos. And what this is telling us is that no matter what chaos, storm, trial, adversity, joy, whatever it is that's in your life right now, you can trust. And psychologists tell us that we develop the capacity to trust very early in life, from age 1 to 2. And even if you were damaged as a young person, or abused, or you couldn't even trust your mom and your dad, the Holy Spirit will come to give you a deeper capacity to trust God. And I pray that by the grace of God tonight, those of you who are here and listening by tape will open themselves up to a deeper trust, a deeper reliance, a deeper dependence on God. Instead of depending on self, remember what I said, some people trust more in the money instead of the money that says in God we trust. So trust is a very, very important virtue, and Jesus loved to preach about it, and Jesus lived trust. This is a man that had a noose around his neck for his whole life, who walked knowing that he was going to the cross, knowing that at the end of his life he was to be tortured and murdered and put to death, yet he trusted, and he trusted God, and God brought good things out of it. I heard a story about a man one time who was right on the edge of a cliff, and he was looking down, and all of a sudden, he stumbled and he fell, and there was a branch hanging. And he just grabbed onto the branch. Now, there he is hanging over the edge of the cliff, grabbed onto this branch for dear life. And he was panicked, and he yells out, "Is there anybody out there?" And he heard a voice, "This is God. Let go. I'll catch you." "Is there anybody else out there?" So I want to tell you that to describe trust, it's a letting go. You know, and we can grasp so hard in our life. Do you understand that the need for control is one of the aspects of being human? Control can be good, but can also be deadly. If you look at the Alcoholics Anonymous program, the 12-step program, I'll speak more about that tomorrow. One of the aspects that just about every alcoholic has is that grasping for control, wanting to be in charge, wanting to be have everything their way, you know, that grabbing a hold of. And ironically, freedom comes, recovery comes by letting go, by surrender. And that's the way we got to live our life. I mean, some control is good. I'm a type A. I love to be in control. You know, if I wasn't in control and I wasn't conscientious, didn't take responsibility for my life, who knows what you'd be hearing tonight? You know, I just get up there and say, well, I trust God. You know, this is going to be easy. Well, I like to say, you know, cast your care on God, but take responsibility for your life. You know, cast your care, not your responsibility. So it's important to have some control, but folks, you know what I mean. You can't rely on yourself. The Bible says, put no trust in princes. That means, you know, you can't really trust people totally. Of course, you got to trust your spouse and some people. What I'm saying is, ultimately, it's in God we trust. And so I'm describing what trust is. It's a letting go. Also, I remember when I was a youth minister in youth group, we used to have these tests. We call them trust tests. And one of them was really interesting. What you would do is this. You'd put your hands on your breast like this, and there would be a person behind you. And you had to close your eyes and fall back and trust that they would catch you. You know, even though you knew there was a person there, many people couldn't do it. They tried. People were like pushing them, and they were going like that, and they wouldn't go. And they knew even their best friend would stand behind them, and they couldn't let go. They couldn't abandon themselves. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some people weren't able to let go, even though there was a person there. And I'm telling you tonight that there's a person in your life that's ready to catch you. And there needs to be a letting go for you and for me. And then another trust test was a real good one I liked. It was, you know, the person would be blindfolded and he'd hold the hand or she would hold the hand of her friend, and that friend would lead. We're going to sing a song later, you know, Lead Me, Lord. That's part of trust. See, we don't always know what our future is. And anyway, that person would lead them, and you had to trust the person. And a lot of times, if you're not too trusting, you're going like this while the person's leading you. But if you're trusting, you just go like that. And you have to trust that they're not going to lead you into a ditch or into branches or into traffic. You have to totally rely on the other person. And in a way, you know what? Pardon my language. You know what the hell of being human is? We don't know our future. Really. You know, we can plan for it. We can prepare for it. We can be conscientious about it. We can be responsible for it. But the bottom line is, none of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We have a general idea, but all you got to do is look in the news. None of us knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. That's not said to scare you. That's said to so that you'll realize that you can't just trust in yourself. I mean, we got to let the Lord lead us and guide us. And yes, He does. Now, I've talked all this week, or I've begun the retreat, by talking about a closer walk with Jesus. And I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, if God is your co-pilot, consider swapping seats. You know what I mean by that? Quit being the pilot and let God be the pilot, and you can be the co-pilot. Let Him be in control. And that, like I said, it's hard to do. I'm such a type A personality, and I like being in control, and I like having it my way, and I can't. You know what that leads to? Stress, frustration, anxiety, worry, and fear. Because I'm so limited and so human, and so are you. And I'm not saying, you know, that control isn't good. I've already told you part of it is good. But there's some parts of it that I've realized that, you know what? I'm not the choir director of the world. I can't control everything, and neither can you. And I've had to do a lot of surrendering in my life and a lot of letting go. And I'll tell you, the opposite of grasping and control and anxiety and fear, the opposite of that is, it's peace. And I have to let go all the time. Like right before I come out here, it's like, I'm nervous. You know, what's this going to be like? These people are expecting great things. That mission 4 years ago, they're still floating up in the clouds. What's going to happen? And Cedric, trust me. See, I don't know the future. I can't have it all my way. Neither can you. But there's something very beautiful and required, and that's why it's a virtue about trust. And so Jesus was telling His people, don't be anxious. Your Father is so in love with you, and His providence for you is so great. Rely upon Him. Trust in Him. And He's going to take care of you. As I thought about it, let's get real practical now. As I thought about it, we need to trust God in three main areas. And the first area is our future. As I said, Not knowing the future is the hell of being human. And it's the same, we're all in the same boat. You know, nobody has a script. Nobody has a TV screen where we know everything that's going to happen. Otherwise, we could go to Reno and hit it big, right? We don't know. In some ways, it's kind of all a gamble. Well, I remember, you know, a survey was taken among young people, you know, what their biggest fear is, what their biggest worry is. We're talking about teenagers. And they said, fear of the future. You know, it's not just elderly people that are afraid. Young people, too, they're afraid of the future. And the reason is because they said that, well, they don't know where they're going to school, they don't know who their spouse is going to be, and they don't know what their job is going to be. And that's terrible. I remember as a teenager, all these unanswered questions. And I want to tell you that trust begs unanswered questions. That's why it's such a virtue. We all have unanswered questions in our life, all kinds of them. And that's why, you know, if you don't live in trust, you will live in torment. And the choice is up to you, and really it is a choice, either trust or torment. And so, you know, there's all kinds of different things, you know, that people fear and they're anxious about, but especially the future. And let's talk a little bit about that. I remember I was preaching a mission in West Hartford, Connecticut. It was 5 years ago. You know, my dad was with me on that one. My mom and dad, they're my biggest supporters, and they always love to come hear me preach and everything. And, you know, we had just set up the tables in the back. It was Sunday night, and I was to start Monday morning, continue the retreat, much like here. And so we're driving back. And I was driving back to the rectory, and my dad actually was driving. And I was sitting in the passenger seat. My mom was back at the monastery where they were staying. So dad was taking me to the rectory, and he was going to take the car back to the monastery. And it was nighttime, and we're driving, and dad turned to me, and I don't know why he said this, but he said, you know, Cedric, nobody's ever going to have to take care of us. Neither of us will ever have to go to a nursing home. And, you know, I'm thinking, wow, thank you. You know, that's a great statement.
Please listen next time for the conclusion of Father Cedric's inspiring message. We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.